morning. Hey, there's a break coming up. There's an immediate break of this weekend, fall break, and right around some many corners from now is spring break. So we would love for you to think about going on an immersion trip. Sign up on immersion.hope.edu. Hey, this morning we are going to be looking in the Gospel of Mark as we have all semester. So if you've got access to a pew Bible, I want you to take it out, turn to the end of chapter 2 in Mark, page 814, and just leave it open on your laps. We're going to get to it in a second. But first, we haven't rehearsed this in a while, so I'm a little bit nervous about how we're going to do. But I believe you, we're going to go back to the play card. All right, now here's how this is going to work. We're going to do this in kind of a call and response type of way. I think this will help us a little bit. So I'm going to say, like, the transitions words, and you'll just say the big stuff, like, Caesar is God, ruling, or the kingdom of Rome. I'll say ruling, get it, you know? So we'll see how this goes. I believe in you. Remember, this is going to set our context for the Gospel of Mark, written by John Mark, in a time when people believed Caesar was the Son of God, ruling the
kingdom of Rome.
And people were called to
submit and obey.
But Mark tells us that proclaiming that
kingdom of God.
Yes, and we are all called to? That is awesome. Good work. Hey, before we hear from the Word of God, or as we hear from the Word of God, I want to do something together as a community, a centering prayer to prepare ourselves to hear from God's Word. If you've been to a Bee Chapel in years past, this is something that we have done in the past. For some of you, this is going to be the first time you've done it. It may feel uncomfortable. For some of you, it may feel uncomfortable even if it's the fifth or sixth time you've done it. But I just invite you to enter in. Don't worry, I'm going to lead you through it. And so we're going to all do this together. We are going to start simply in this centering prayer by getting ourselves in a relaxed but attentive position. So I invite you to sit down if you can or are, and kind of sit up straight. Feet on the ground, hands on your lap. And I invite you to close your eyes and start by simply taking a few deep breaths. And as you breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth, I want you to envision pushing the breath all the way down into your belly, into your gut. And then exhaling. Throughout this prayer, keep breathing deeply. I'm going to say a phrase and invite you to repeat it back to me. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be still and know. Be still.
Be still.
Be. Keeping your eyes closed, helping your mind be attentive, breathing deeply. Listen to the Word of God from the Gospel of Mark. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered into the house of God, and when Abiathar, there was a high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but priests to eat. And then he gave it to some of his companions. Then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched Jesus to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? To save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against Jesus, how to destroy him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I think there's a lot of interesting things that happen in that passage. I think one of the interesting things happens at the very end. I'm not sure if you heard it. The very last sentence that we read, the very last verse, chapter 3, verse 6. The Pharisees were ticked off, and they went and conspired with the Herodians to destroy him. Now, the Greek understanding that what they're trying to do is they're plotting to kill him. Maybe it'd be more interesting to you if you understood a little bit about who the Pharisees and the Herodians were and what their deal was. The Pharisees, as you might know, were the traditionalists. They were the ones who desired and longed to follow the letter of the law and did so to the point where you see in these Sabbath stories that the laws of not doing, there's I think like 19 or so different laws, the things you could and couldn't do on the Sabbath, even trumped, Jesus is asking him, healing somebody? They were concerned with preserving the law because all the culture around them was changing. And that's where the Herodians come into play. See, as we say, you know, this, what is that right there? Kingdom of Rome. Man, they are taken over. And everywhere they go, they place a new king. And one of the kings was Herod, and he was nasty. And he was just a bad guy. And the Herodians were the ones following Herod who were like, you know what? The times are changing. Things are moving along. We got to be willing to move with it. So you got these two different camps of people. The Pharisees are feeling entrenched because they're worried that the times are changing. And then you got the Herodians, the people who are like, the times are changing. Come on, get on board. And somehow Jesus manages to upset them both enough to want to have him killed. Isn't that interesting? You would think that Jesus would be pleasing one or the other, but they're both upset. They work together. The Pharisees go to conspire with the Herodians. What's going on? Are they just upset because Jesus is eating grain and healing people on the Sabbath? What they're seeing is their understanding is that Jesus is coming in and proclaiming something entirely new. He is proclaiming a new way of being, a new way of seeing that the kingdom of God is now. And it is not a kingdom that is without law. It's a kingdom, though, where the laws are meant to help us live fully into who we are created to be in God. Not for the sake of checking things off our list, but for the sake of following close after the one that we love. Now, I talked to, not all of you, but quite a few students. And one of the things I hear repeatedly in conversations from students is that you just want to try harder. I just want to try harder. I want to try to pray more. I want to try to read my Bible more. I want to try to go to worship more. I want to try to love more. I want to try to please you in my body, in my mind. I want to try. And you want to do it for good reasons. You want to be closer to Jesus. But Jesus' message is that I am here now. I am present everywhere. God's kingdom is here now. And we believe as Christians that the Holy Spirit lives in us. You can't get closer than that, than someone living in you. That's pretty close. What God longs for us is to become attentive to God's dwelling in us and around us. And that is why God longs for us to live into rhythms and rest like the Sabbath. The Sabbath isn't meant to be something that we just do to check off our list, but it's meant to be a time where, I love this, one author says, Sabbath is meant to restore the diminished, to replenish the drained, to repair the broken. We believe this lie that if I perform, if I keep busy, if I do well, I will be accepted. Jesus came to proclaim that you are accepted. You belong to God, and God's kingdom is here now, and he wants us to have eyes to see it. So as we go into this weekend, where hopefully there is some rest, probably some work to be done as well, my challenge to us as a community is starting to learn to live into these rhythms that God has set for us. So I would encourage you to take 5 minutes each day and do the be still and know that I am God prayer. 5 minutes. God doesn't want you to try harder to get closer to him. God wants you to be attentive to his presence in your life and the world right now. Amen. Go in peace and have a restful and wonderful break.